Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I want to get to a Shannon Sharpe cut here in just a second because he just spits straight facts. I've always loved that he's always kind of been that sort of guy.
I wish more and more guys that play the game were like Shannon Sharpe, right? Like, Shannon's not just going to go for the low-hanging fruit and attack the referees. He's actually going to have a great Chiefs take for everybody to hear. Mm-hmm. And it really, like, bothers me when guys who play the game who think they know the game, just because you play doesn't mean you know anything about football, have such awful takes. Take a lesson from Shannon Sharpe, man.
Take a lesson and take a listen.
New England, and you never gave the defense credit. Tom Brady had guys. What about Malcolm Butler play? Tom Brady was the MVP. We keep trying to say it's this and this and this. You can put all those intangibles together. It's 1-5 that's the glue that keeps it together.
But no one's arguing that.
Stop doing this, D.O. I know, look, I know it hurt. No. And ain't nobody feeling sorry for a man making $50 million a year and he got his butt kicked again. It doesn't matter what he played. He had Patrick Mahomes in his building last year and Patrick Mahomes put his foot up on his couch. He goes to Patrick Mahomes' house and Patrick Mahomes kick him out. It does not matter. It's 1-5. These guys can beat any of these other quarterbacks. Lamar can beat Burrow. Josh Allen can beat Burrow, yada, yada, yada. The greatest advantage an athlete can have is another man's fear.
Ooh.
They fear Patrick.
Ooh.
They know.
Tom did say.
They know if it's a one-score game, they can't see it.
Now I know that nobody in the sports world will ever go out there and be like, yeah, I just fear that guy. The only one I think I can ever remember that is like John Kruk, whenever Randy Johnson threw a fastball. Like, that was straight up like, all right, yeah, like I fear that
guy.
That was
an all-star game moment.
Yeah, I mean, that was just personality showing, you know, what it is because of, you know, who Randy Johnson was. Like,
the thing is, Randy Johnson was probably throwing at John Kruk anyway in an all-star game.
Or just didn't like him because he was chubby. Like, Randy Johnson was just like one of those red-ass type of guys. Like, hey, check this out. Like,
yeah.
You know, obviously threw 99 miles an hour and then had a slider that would snap at a heartbeat. But I think that's fair when, you know, Shannon Sharpe says that, where it's like, well, you know, Dan Orlovsky saying, yeah, Patrick Mahomes has this defense that he can lean on and Patrick Mahomes has this. It's like, well, when the Patriots are doing nobody, and maybe I'm prisoner of the moment, I don't remember, you know, because I wasn't listening to radio and, you know, whatever it is all the time. But when we went back and looked at Tom Brady's career, it was always like, you do realize that he had a really good defense. And then when Mahomes was doing it early on, it was like, what happens if Patrick Mahomes gets a defense? And you're like, well, then he doesn't have to go out there and be Superman.
Right. Even though people still think it's 2018 and expect him to be Superman.
And I think what Shannon Sharpe is saying there is that Patrick Mahomes is that guy because, like we've mentioned so far this week and we've done on Instagram videos as well, Jordan was that guy. Like, Tiger was that guy. Like, that documentary that I watched on Tiger Woods where the guy's sitting there doing the commentary and he's like, you know, people would say, like, I want a shot at Tiger on Sunday. I want the red shirt next to me on a tee box and have a chance to win the tournament. The guy literally pauses and goes, the F you do.
Yeah, you, like, you want him to have a bad round so you don't have to face him on Sunday.
Like, you can say that, but you don't want that. And we talked about Mahomes playing from behind. It's almost like, and somebody in the text line was like, I'd rather just the Chiefs be down by 10 in the fourth quarter. I'll feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like the great ones at the moment of despair seem to rise above it all. And that's what Mahomes always seems to do. We got it all. It was foreshadowed in his first start ever as a quarterback. Hey, go out there and have fun. Last game of the year. Everybody's checked out for Denver. Just go out there and do your thing. Goes out there, makes Albert Wilson look like a superstar. All of a sudden, the Chiefs have the lead. They're like, all right, you've had enough. Get out of here. We want to make sure you're all right for the next season because you're going to be our starting quarterback. No matter what happens in the playoffs, Alex Smith will no longer be here. You will be the guy. And then all of a sudden, Tyler Bray won in the game in a game that was meaningless. Mm-hmm. And what did Andy Reid do once they lost the lead? Hey, Pat, can you go out there and run a 2-minute drill and win it in your first year ever in the NFL? I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
And he went out there and got the Chiefs to come back and win the game, kick a field goal. What have we seen since then?
Yeah, nothing but that. I mean, and that's just the way it is. And again, it's something that can't be taught. It's something you learn over time. It's something you're born with. It's something that's in your DNA. And, you know, this is a situation where we're very fortunate to have him on our side. And the thing is, too, Patrick has learned how to win in different ways. It's not like he just goes out there and dominates. Patrick Mahomes has had to work through some struggles. First of all, not having a defense. Second of all, not having wide receivers. Trading Tyree. Like, the whole thing that we've seen over the years and how this offense has changed and how this team has changed and really how this organization's changed. And he's been that one constant. But as much as the change come, he's changed with everybody and still has kind of been that leader, but has moved forward as well and figured out ways to do things differently that maybe in the past he just had to throw it up and number 10 would run underneath it and catch it. That's not there anymore. What do we do? Well, we'll figure it out and we'll continue to win Super Bowls. And there's a lot of people in all walks of life who just get stuck in their ways and they're not willing to change, and they get fired real fast out of these head coaching jobs or just fired out of life in general. How much has Andy Reid changed and matured as a head football coach since he's come to Kansas City and changed what he was all about? And how much has Patrick Mahomes changed and become a better quarterback since he's come here to Kansas City? It's no wonder he is the greatest postseason quarterback of all time. The man is 17-3 in the postseason and has now thrown 50 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions in 20 postseason games. Mm. Let that sink in for a second. In 20 postseason games, he's thrown 50 touchdowns. That's almost 3 touchdowns per game in the postseason. That's how good Patrick Mahomes has been. And when you're watching Patrick Mahomes and you're on his team and he's doing everything at a top level, you're doing everything at the top level as well, because you're not about to let Patrick Mahomes down. And so his performance and the way that he plays and the way that he goes about things has that trickle-down effect, because if you're a guy inside that locker room that's playing on this team, mm-hmm. and Patrick Mahomes is going through the extra work and doing the extra stuff and taking it up a notch, you are as well. So his presence just makes everybody better, which is what Tom Brady and Joe Montana's presence did too, and Michael Jordan's presence. He made Scottie Pippen look like a halfway decent player.
And if you remember, this is what Deebo Samuel said about Patrick Mahomes.
I remember Juwan Jennings, bro. And we on the sideline. They had just got the ball back, and they needed 3-2 tie to go on overtime. And Juwan Jennings over there like, yeah, man, we about to win the Super Bowl. And like me, I've been there. I played against Patrick Mahomes in 2019, bro. We up. Mm. We up 10 with 4 minutes left and lose by 10. Like, I've seen it. So yeah. I'm like, bro, like, just relax, bro. Let's just let our defense do what it's going to do. I'm over there on the sideline. Like, I think it's a minute.
I remember that. They went overtime. Yes. They showed you guys' faces.
Bro, it's like a minute and something left. Juwan over there, like, let's go. I'm like, twin, like, chill out, bro. Like, they drive. Bro, just like, dang. Like, I see it. Right. Like, him with the ball, it's like Tom Brady with the ball back in the day. It's just like, because like at the end of the day, nobody want to play them running quarterbacks, bro. Like them running quarterbacks, and as good as he is, it's just like, you just got to pray.
I don't consider Patrick a running quarterback. I consider Patrick a quarterback that runs when he needs to and always gets the yardage that he needs. A running quarterback is, you know, Michael Vick, or, you know, even Lamar can be kind of put into that category. Patrick Mahomes is not a running quarterback at all. Mm-hmm. He's just a quarterback that knows how to run effectively more than just about anybody else that's ever played the game.
Situational runner.
Yeah, exactly.
Improviser, scrambler.
Three touchdowns on Sunday, two of which were rushing touchdowns. I mean, just straight facts from
Deebo Sanders.
So it's always great when you hear that, because again, we go back to like the fear, right? Like, that's not Deebo Samuel or
Deebo Sanders
coming out and saying that it's, you know, I fear this man, but that is somebody who fears that moment because of the man. And when he says that to Juwan Jennings, who's out there like, yeah, dude, we got this. We're about to do this. He's like, chill, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you have no idea. That's in your mind. And I know for a fact that's in Josh Allen's mind. That's in Sean McDermott's mind. That was in, you know, D'Amico Ryan's mind. That was in T.J. Stroud's. It's going to be in Philadelphia's.
The mind is everything. And, you know, I've used this, you know, commentary a lot from George Brett. If you go to the ballpark that day thinking you're going to be beat, you're going to be beat 90% of the time.
Oh, 100%.
You've got to have in your mindset that we're going to win this game. And any shadow of a doubt that's in your mind is going to prevent you from accomplishing that goal. And that's why, like Seth Joyner, I get his commentary of, I don't care about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give a rat's ass about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
And that's the right mindset to take. You can't worry about the other team.
But isn't also by saying that you do care? It's like kind of contradicting.
Yeah, maybe, but
I don't
care
about what they have to say. It's like, so you do care.
Yeah, but I think that has to be the mindset, though. Like, he doesn't play, obviously, anymore. But, like, if you're on the Eagles right now, like, if you're Jalen Carter, you can't come out there and go, man, this Patrick Mahomes, I'll tell you what, we just can't figure this guy out or something like that. Like, then you're already beat. If you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you do need to have that mindset. I don't care about Patrick Mahomes. I know if I do what I need to do, that we're going to win this football game. And so if they go in with the mindset of worrying about Patrick Mahomes, it's taking away from them to focus on what they need to do to get better. Just like the Texans focusing on the penalties and, you know, the Buffalo fan base or whoever now focusing on the refs. You're not focusing on the task at hand here, and that's doing what it takes to win. And Sean McDermott, I mean, you had the opportunity to run the football. You chose not to do that because you're worried about other things. You're focusing on Patrick Mahomes or whoever the case may be. You got to focus on what you need to do to win those games. And when you start, you know, straying and thinking this and thinking that, it takes away from what you need to do. We'll see how good of a leader Nick Sirianni is going into the Super Bowl and see if Philadelphia is focused on Patrick Mahomes or if they're just worried about getting their job done.
I have never seen Kansas City run this offensive play before, and it seems like they saved it for the very perfect moment in the AFC title game. They score on it twice in two different ways.
You know, Mr. I watch film and break film down.
Or just steal Greg Rousseau's tweet.
Could be that too.
Because that, what Dan Orlovsky said, is exactly what Greg Rousseau, who played in the game, said after the game. We watched all their film and never saw this play ever. Dan Orlovsky, give credit where credit's due, bro.
A lot of that goes around.
I mean, you kind of ran out of the back of the end zone on that one, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy, something else.
I've watched all, or you stole Greg Rousseau's tweet.
Or it's okay to admit that you may not have seen all plays by the Chiefs.
But why not just give Greg Rousseau the credit for that? Because I thought that was a great comment after the game.
For some people to do sometimes. You know, you see something, you go with it. You know, that's what a lot of people do.
I know, but just give credit where credit's due. Like,
that's tough,
like Greg Rousseau's a legit player, right? Like a legit player in this league, right? He comes out after the game and goes, damn, man, I'll tell you, I give credit, all the credit in the world. Like, that right there should shut up all the referee people, okay? A player on your team openly admitted that they did stuff that they'd never seen before. That's why you lost the game, because the Chiefs were one step ahead of you. And so for Orlovsky to get out there and say that kind of stuff, I watched all. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just give the guy credit.
From the 918, here's a fact for you, Dust Man. The Chiefs are wearing white uniforms for the Super Bowl. They haven't lost a Super Bowl wearing them, and only two teams have won a Super Bowl not wearing white uniforms in the last 10 years, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Patrick beat these dudes on one leg last time. I mean,
they didn't have Saquon Barkley last time.
No.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
He's
Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the Chiefs still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Damn right.
That's right.
And they still have Sirianni and Big Dom.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Sirianni and Hurts versus Reid and Mahomes.
Which, shouldn't the Super Bowl like graphic, and this isn't a shot at Hurts, maybe it is, shouldn't it be Saquon and Patrick? Like, that's the two.
Yeah.
Like, that's the that's the two.
God
like,
forbid we give somebody other than a quarterback props in this league, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, like, why would we give anybody other than a quarterback? Like, they always put the graphic up on Championship Sunday of the four quarterbacks with their backs looking at the Super Bowl stadium, you know?
I've got to listen to this again because the text line just said
a couple of years ago, it was like Blake Bortles and a bunch of rum-dums out there. And this year, you know, you got Hurts, you got, Allen, you got Mahomes, and, you know, whoever else played for Wash Daniels. And it's like, those are four really legit quarterbacks going into this league. You got to make it all about the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league.
For
I get what you're saying. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, to me, is the X factor for both of these teams. He's the difference maker for both the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. If he runs great like he did against Washington, it'll be a long day.
Somebody says Dano sounded like a fourth grader giving a book report in this audio.
I have never seen Kansas City run this offensive play before, and it seems like they saved it for the very perfect moment in the AFC title game. They score on it twice in two different ways.
You know, I mean, at least he's not.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
On the come.
Not that. On the come.
That was poorly placed. One more time, Terry. I didn't mean to do it.
On the come.
One more time.
On the come.
Not Jerry Jones and a biscuit.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Somebody. Sadly, I don't know who, man.
Sadly, bro.
Somebody. He's getting injected with that life serum somewhere in his life, man, because he's still kicking. Here we go. On the come this week, I can start this off. I'll go two Chiefs players because Mac went two Chiefs players. Let me tell you something, Mac. My on the come, Nico Remigio, man.
Yes.
Danny Hughes kind of alluded to it earlier about how he had to take over the role from Mecole Hardman. The guy's been fantastic on special teams plays. Nobody outside of this radio station probably knows who he is. That man's going to do something special in the Super Bowl. He's given us reason. He's given us reason to do that. Houston Texans game, he was fine. This game, he was fine. Got good yardage. I mean, the Houston Texans game, he broke it open. It's not his fault the offense didn't score, but the dude's got some talent. The dude plays with a little bit of speed, a little bit of chip. I don't know what it is. I mean, you want to get your – that's the thing that's so great about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's such a great franchise, and they win so much. Everybody wants to be some sort of part of it. Like when the season's all said and done and we go back and, you know, there's the red carpet moments and there's all this sort of stuff that gets talked about, people still will mention Kadarius Toney's return in that Super Bowl against Philadelphia.
Huge.
They will remember that punt return. Even though Kadarius Toney might go down as one of the biggest frauds for the Kansas City Chiefs, you will always remember that Super Bowl run back from that punt return. If Nico Remigio can do that again in the next game up, continues to be on the come, maybe gets himself a, you know, solidified roster spot on this team moving forward for many more years to come. Mecole Hardman, we don't know what's going to happen to him after this knee surgery. He might lose a couple steps. Nico Remigio, next man up. And oh, by the way, he'll be on the show at 9 o'clock once again because he's a fan of the show. My other one on the come, Juwan Taylor.
Absolutely.
I thought, man, guys, I thought we were going to have a moment. I didn't think they were going to lose. Obviously, I made my predictions on many platforms. I didn't think they were going to lose, but in the back of my mind, I was in fear. 3rd and 7, fourth quarter, illegal shift or whatever it is, number 74, offense. I was so worried about that. Never happened. So, nice job, Juwan Taylor, on the come. Nico Remigio, Juwan Taylor for Munn, Dusty Likens.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Deion Dawkins start early on that touchdown pass right before halftime?
Could have fooled me.
I don't know, man. I didn't see a flag, which is fine. I don't care.
Didn't Philadelphia also hold on the touchdown they threw to A.J. Brown in that game that really made a pivotal moment in that game? Oh, I'm sorry. It would have been four. It was on 4th and 5. They threw it to – but the refs – I'm done. I'm
Let
done.
The Chiefs get the calls, guys. Come
we're
on.
Done.
Stop
we're done.
That.
Yeah, we're Stop done. Leaning into it.
Yeah, no, we're done.
Come on, man.
For me, it's pretty simple this week on the come. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are my two. I mean, there's so much at stake now for these two guys when it comes to their legacy. The way we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid now is going to be different if they win this third Super Bowl in a row in less than 2 weeks. And that Monday morning after the Chiefs win their third straight Super Bowl, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are an untouched heir. They're in a category all by themselves. They have literally done something that nobody in the history of the world in this, you know, 365 billion years of being here, they will have done something that nobody in the history of the world has ever done, and that's be the first quarterback coach combination to win three championships in the NFL. The entire narrative and their entire body of work and career trajectory changes with a three-peat.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a similar note there, but going with Matt Nagy and Spags, whereas I think their careers can completely change with a three-peat. I think huge coaching carousel this time.
Would
coaching
that be five for Spags?
He had one with the Giants.
He's one
three with the Chiefs,
and then it'll be
four.
No, this will be four with
one with the Giants and three with the Chiefs. That'd be
he's only been here for. Oh yeah, all three. You're right. You're right. So yeah, so it'd be his.
Yeah, because they didn't win a Super Bowl till Spags got here.
True. So it was only giving them that back to back. Yeah.
So
damn,
that's insane.
And I'm trying to think of like Spags picked up like a rando ring. He was like a consultant with Baltimore one year,
that.
But
don't
like total rings. I mean, they're counting Andy Reid as like seven rings or something like that. You know, when he wins.
Well, in Jacksonville come next season, they're going to be really sad that they hired.
Yeah.
Duval.
Yeah, and there's going to be other people going, oh, wait, we didn't hire Spagnuolo. We didn't hire Matt Nagy, who won three straight Super Bowls and catered
there's
one of the best
very
offenses.
Very low percentage of this.
I think Spags
that is smiles and glory holes.
I think Spags' age hurts him. He's 65 years old. I think it does too. I think it hurts him in a league. And also,
I think situation in City hurts him.
Yeah.
Like, why would I leave this?
Well, that does. But situation in City also hurt him when he was head coach of the Rams.
Sure.
Because that was a lame organization in St. Louis that wasn't trying to win. They were looking to fail to move. And that's his, you know, kind of resume is what he did
and
as a head coach.
Chief City.
Not really, really good. Ambience. This is a young man's league. Look at all these coaches that are getting hired right now.
Pete Carroll.
You know, the exception to the rule, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's why I love that hire, because they did something. They hired a guy who's proven, except for this Willy Wonka guy down in Jacksonville who looks just like Gene Wilder.
Aaron Glenn, 52.
Is that considered young?
No.
Yeah,
not for head coaching standpoint.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's a little older.
Yeah. Aaron Glenn probably just about the same age as his current quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I would say that's middle of the pack, because I think like guys like Carroll's an outlier. I mean, he's what, 75, 74?
Yeah, 72, somewhere in there. Yeah, mid-70s. Yeah.
I mean, Reed's getting up there.
Reed's 65, 66. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say those are the older guys. I would say, like, you know, the young 50s are like the middle-aged guys now. And then you have all the, like, McVays and, you know, Kevin O'Connells and guys like that that are, like,
everybody's trying to catch that lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire a guy who last year at this time was like an art class. And then, you know, saying Duvall, like, sorry, bro, like you're done before he even started.
Tell me you ate mushrooms without telling me you ate mushrooms.
Duvall.
Okay.
He's 39, Liam Cohen.
Can he please put on a purple suit and take me to the chocolate factory?
Anything you want to do it.
Duvall.
Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Oh, my. I just looked at him yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God. Real-life Gene Wilder here being Willy Wonka.
I mean, good for them.
They got by far the best Willy Wonka.
Well, I mean, there's not one even remotely close.
Not even close.
Johnny Depp was on Xanax, and Timothée Chalamet was just singing.
I haven't seen that one.
Way too much singing.
I haven't watched either of those because the original is just perfect.
Yep, don't do it.
Every time I start the original, I'm like, all right, I got to pause it, go to Quick Trip, and grab like five chocolate candy bars.
So I start making all that chocolate. I'm like, I'll be right back.
Scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
Look,
and
you'll see a world of pure inebriation.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
Ugh. Have you ever seen a wet biscuit, if I'm being honest?
Yeah, they pour that gravy all over the top of it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, you're like spilt a cup of water at Red Lobster and it got over the Cheddar Bay.
Oh, that's
like
that would be terrible if you did that. Oh,
apparently,
man.
That's what his dinger looks like.
I mean, those Cheddar Bay biscuits are good. You ruin one of those
steaks
in the water.
Yeah, no sloppy biscuits, apparently, if you think you should leave.